All right, welcome to the Maximum Hoops Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Maxey. And as we approach the NBA season, I thought it was fitting. I will give you my rankings of the teams in the East, give a little background on the rotations, their starting lineups, projected starting lineups, who the top six will be, who I think will be in the play-ins, and who will be looking for lottery success again. So with that being said, we are going to start with the Eastern Conference. And you might call me a homer. I don't really care, but I'm taking the Milwaukee Bucks at number one in the Eastern Conference. This is my Eastern Conference rankings. How I feel like they'll be at the end of the season. The Bucks, obviously, Giannis Antetokounmpo will be the focal point. Defensive Player of the Year candidate, most valuable player of the, candidate. You know, their backcourt will be Drew Holiday, probably Wes Matthews or Grayson Allen at the two. Chris Middleton is going to miss the first couple weeks of November. And I really think a healthy Chris Middleton, and they might have won the title again last year, so they need him back. But in the meantime, they've been running a front court of Giannis, Bobby Portis, and Brooke Lopez. So I don't know if they're going to change because, you know, of their preseason or not. But that's what they look for. They brought back Jordan Nwora. Pat Connaughton's also injured. So right there, you got Pat Connaughton, who is injured, and Bobby Portis, who's now going to be inserted in the starting lineup, most likely for Chris Middleton, your depth. But I think when it's all said and done at the end of the year, the Milwaukee Bucks will be the number one seed. If not the number one seed, they'll be the best team. Their perimeter game is just so much better when Chris Middleton's around. I would not be surprised to see them make a trade, try to get a consistent two guard in there throughout the season. Grayson Allen is obviously a guy who could be sent in a deal. So I got Philadelphia number two. Philadelphia is, every year we think that this is their year. I'm a big fan of Joel Embiid. I like their youth and their experience mixed together. They brought in PJ Tucker, who sounds to me like he's going to be coming off the bench, possibly or possibly starting. It sounds like you're going to have Joel Embiid as your center. Tyrese Maxey is going to be starting at one guard spot. James Harden obviously will be at the other guard spot. And then what they do at starting lineup, Tobias Harris will have one of them spots, and it could be either Matisse Thybulle or PJ Tucker. Both are defensive players, so I think PJ Tucker is just such a great addition, whether he's coming off the bench or starting. He's going to find his niche. You'll hear my MVP, Boldy, my MVP for at the end of this podcast, but I'm going to let you know I am in love with Joel Embiid. I think this is finally his year where he can lead them. I got them as a two seed. I think they're a real threat to make it to the finals. I really do. So I got Philadelphia number two. So that brings Boston, the defending Eastern Conference champions, at number three. So they're without Robert Williams. They're without, Marcus Smart's been playing. He's been struggling in preseason. But, their front court right now looks like it's going to be, at least to start the season with Robert Williams out, looks like it's going to be Brown, Tatum, and Horford. They did use Derek White and Marcus Smart together. That signals that they really want Malcolm Brogdon coming off the bench. How long before Malcolm Brogdon becomes a starter over Marcus Smart? I feel like that's just destined to happen, but we'll see. But Boston, obviously, Tatum and Jaylen Brown just keep getting better every year. As they go, the Celtics go. The reason I have them at number three and not one or two, like a lot of people, is this whole coaching thing, the Ime Udoka situation. They're going into a new coach, it's a different voice leading them. I just feel like it's going to take them a little bit of a step back, but they are the Boston Celtics, and they do have bona fide studs and a really solid starting lineup. I have them still as the number three seed. Okay, let's just put it this way. I think the top three teams in the East are all going to be battling for the Eastern Conference Finals. And we'll have to see how that shapes form. So, coming in at number four, I got the Brooklyn Nets. The reason I have Brooklyn at number four, a lot of guys, I've seen them in the 6 and 7 range. As long as Kevin Durant's on their team, I don't bet against Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant still, he might be a little bit, he's not past the prime, but he might be on the back end of his prime. Kyrie Irving. So one of two things could happen. Either they could freaking get off to a great start and Ben Simmons clicks, or they could go into total shit mode and tank and just see if they can find a taker for Durant, see if they can find a taker for Kyrie, and just blow this whole thing up. Ben Simmons, well, first of all, they're starting the season without Seth Curry and Joe Harris. So I'm thinking a backcourt of Kyrie Irving and Royce O'Neal to start the season with Durant, Ben Simmons, and Nick Claxton up front. But when Harris and Seth Curry come back, they're going to be obviously better and they're going to be at more full strength. Ben Simmons is a good defensive player. He can pretty much guard all five spots. However, I don't like him. I don't like him handling the ball as much as I want the ball in Kyrie and Kevin Durant's hands. If you want to put the ball in his hands in the post or on the break, he grabs a rebound, goes. That's what's the best part about Ben Simmons. He grabs a rebound, he goes. But I don't want him being the main ball handler. I feel like put him down in the post, let him get the ball down there. He could be a dynamic passer down there. I would not be surprised if they experiment with him a little bit at center. The Nets are really thin at center. I think their depth will be much better, obviously, when the two guards come back. But other than that, front court depth, they really don't have. So, and I think that's where Ben Simmons is going to have to be playing, at least for Brooklyn. So, the surprise team at the Eastern Conference, I got Cleveland Cavaliers coming in at number five. Obviously, they are now are sporting after the Donovan Mitchell trade. They're sporting a dynamic backcourt, just a ridiculously dynamic backcourt in Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell. Bring it back, the stellar Evan Mobley and Jarrett Allen up front. So they're going two small guards, two bigs at the 4 and 5. And then I think Caris LeVert has the upper edge to being a starter at the 3, but Isaac Okoro's in the mix. Regardless, those guys are both going to, regardless of who's starting, they're both going to get lots of run. So I feel like, I think Evan Mobley might, we'll have to see if he's good enough to start the season. But I really like Cleveland. I like that move. The problem is I just don't think they're in the Boston, Philadelphia, Milwaukee range yet. Maybe in due time. I no matter what you think of Kevin Durant, I love Kevin Durant. That's why I have Brooklyn before. So right now I have Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Boston, Brooklyn, Cleveland. Coming in with the last of the guaranteed playoff spots, we'll call it that. I have the Miami Heat coming in at number 6. And Miami has, other than Bam Adebayo, they don't have a big man on the roster that's worth anything. It looks like they're going to start a front court of Jimmy Butler, Caleb Martin, and Bam Adebayo in the middle, with a back court of Kyle Lowry and newly minted starter, it seems, Tyler Hero. So Miami, in my opinion, is going to be they're going to be scouring the trade market pretty much all season. I see them being big players, whether it's in season or trade deadline. They need to get a guy who can replace PJ Tucker, which they don't have on this roster right now. Jimmy Butler obviously is a dog. Tyler Hero now can play off the ball way more with the starting unit. It's going to be interesting. They're obviously going to dangle Duncan Robinson's contract to try to get some help. I say this every year. I just don't like the makeup of Miami's roster. I think Kyle Lowry is slow. I think they'll be carried by Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and to a lesser extent, Tyler Hero. I think Kyle Lowry will be a reason that they're not a top three or four team in this in this season. It's going to turn out to be a terrible signing, which I thought it was at the beginning. Kyle Lowry is nothing more than really a bench player right now at this point. And we'll see if Miami realizes that somewhere down this down the line here during the season. So let's get to the teams I think will be in the play-in game. So I got at number 7, the Atlanta Hawks. And the Atlanta Hawks, I really hate that. I really think that they could push Miami to the play-in game, and I didn't have the guts to do it. I just didn't have the guts to put Miami at 7 in the play-in, just because I have Ulster as a coach. I just couldn't do it. So I got Atlanta at number 7. They're going to have a new dynamic backcourt with Trae Young, DeJounte Murray. That's going to allow Trae Young to play a little bit more off the ball. I still feel like he's going to have the ball in his hands, but now they're kind of interchangeable, and it should be interesting to watch. Obviously, Clint Capella still will be the starting center. John Collins, you know, are the trade rumors going to start up again? Because he's still there. So he's going to be your starting four, and it looks like DeAndre Hunter is going to be your starting three. They did make a trade in the offseason, sending Kevin Porter to Sacramento. This is going to free up more playing time off the bench for Bogey Bogdanovich, and we'll have to see if my problem with Atlanta is as much as I love their backcourt, and they're going to be one of my league pass teams to watch, my problem is I don't think they're deep enough, and they still got like Onyeka Okongwu. You know, he's still young. Bogey's injured all the time. It's going to be, they did draft AJ Griffin, who looked really good in preseason, but are they going to give him regular season minutes? So I just feel like right now their depth isn't where they want it. They might be able to do from within, you know, so we'll have to see how their rotation plays out. Toronto. Coming in at number 8. That's who I have coming in at number 8. Now, see here, this is a team with really no center. So they're playing a lot of, it sounds like the lineup they're going to play the most is, they said they're going to, if they play a team with size, they might go bigger. But sounds like they're going to play Pascal Siakam at the center with Scotty Barnes and OG Anunoby at the forwards, with Fred Van Vliet and Gary Trent in the backcourt. And I really like Gary Trent. I've just never been a big Fred Van Vliet fan. I'm hard on Toronto every year. I know that fat fuck Brian Windhorst says that they're going to be a surprise team, but we'll see. I'm down on them every year. And I just can't figure out why. But we'll have to see how they go. I don't think their depth is what it should be. You know, they obviously play in the Eastern or the Atlantic Division, so they're gonna get Philadelphia, Boston, and Brooklyn a bunch. So that's gonna be a tough go for it. So I got Toronto at number 8. Now a healthy Chicago Bulls I might have higher, but right now I got him number 9. Lonzo Ball, I just think Lonzo Ball healthy is dynamic, and he's not there yet, and he looks like he's gonna miss a month into the season, maybe a couple months into the season, and they're starting second year player Ayodesunmu as their starting point guard, which allows Alex Caruso to come off the bench, which I really like him coming off the bench. I just think he brings an excitement coming off the bench. And I think his style of play is good for short spurts, which I think he'll get off the bench. obviously they returned Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. And DeMar DeRozan, talk about a guy who's gotten, in my opinion, so much better since he left Toronto. He is he's become quite the player. So much so that I think that Zach LaVine is going to let DeMar be the man this year. And obviously they have Vucevic in the middle. The four spot right now, Patrick Williams was set to do it, but he didn't. There's word out there that he didn't really stick out too much, and they might go with a smaller four, like a Javonte Green, who's really like a 6'5" small forward, as the power forward because he's tough and he can rebound and whatnot. But you know, that bench of Caruso, Kobe White, Patrick Williams, if he comes off the bench, could be a reason that they stay in games, because I really, really like the way that the Bulls roster is if they can get a healthy Lonzo Ball. I think a healthy Lonzo Ball, could you imagine his distribution? I mean, the guy would average probably 15 assists on this team, healthy. So we'll have to see how long he stays out, but I think a healthy Lonzo Ball and this team is probably, you know, looking at the sixth spot. So, okay, that leaves our last play-in team, the lowly Tom Thibodeau-led New York Knicks. So the New York Knicks are, you know, I think they're improved. They got Jalen Brunson from the Mavericks. And he was going to be in the backcourt with, I'm assuming, most likely, Evan Fournier, who had a really good Euro games. Looks really good in Euro games. He looks so much better playing in Europe than he does in the NBA for some reason. But he'll be the backcourt mate with Jalen Brunson. That means the small forward will be RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, and Mitchell Robinson will round out the five. Obviously, they got a lot of youth, like Emmanuel Quickley, Obi Toppin coming off the bench. You know, I don't know if Cam Reddish is going to get some minutes off the bench, but they got some talent, so would not be surprised to see this team up higher. Would not be surprised to see this team up lower, or to see this team down lower either. So I really do think that that the Knicks, you know, they're a very hard team to figure out right now. I like the way they play. We'll have to see. So that's how I got the playoff, the top six who are guaranteed, and then my play-in teams. So who do I have missing the playoffs? Well, the 11th ranked team I have are the Detroit Pistons. I think that this will be their last year outside the playoffs, because I do think that they are going to make a run towards the playoffs. I think they're going to be battling up until the last week to make the playoffs. I mean, their dynamic backcourt of Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey looked really good in the preseason. I can't wait to see it. Sadiq Bey has become a really good three-point shooter from the three spot. They did lose Marvin Bagley, but they did acquire a Bohan Bogdanovic from Utah. He'll be your starting four, which gives him a stretch option. And Isaiah Stewart will be in the middle. They did experiment with Isaiah Stewart playing a four and maybe Jalen Duran as a center, kind of like a Twin Towers look. Don't know how often they'll use that look, but with Marvin Bagley injured, I think that's a big injury, because whether he was starting or coming off the bench, he's really, really found a home in Detroit. And I think the Pistons are on the upswing. You know, I mean, they got Corey Joseph's the backup point guard. He's like, he's okay. You know, they got some all right players coming off the bench, but I really like the Detroit Pistons as my number 11 team. Number 12, I got Washington. And I know Kristaps Porzingis has been awesome during the preseason. What I'm hearing is it's going to be Monty Morris and Bradley Beal in the backcourt. Then it's going to be Kristaps Porzingis as a center, which I love him as a center. Love him as a center because he can help stretch the floor. He can help. He just does so many things, and then he can protect the paint. Kyle Kuzma, obviously, will be the four. And it sounds like there was an open competition for the three. Sounds like Will Martin will be the three who they acquired in a trade with the Denver Nuggets. So I have Denny Avdija, that's how you say his name, and Rui Hachimura are going to get a lot of minutes off the bench, I believe. First round pick, number 10 overall, Johnny Davis has really struggled. I mean, struggled mightily. So I don't know what his rotation minutes are going to be, but and then they bring in DeLon Wright, who'll be he could play both guard positions. He's kind of a combo guard. So that's how I have Washington. I have them at number 12. Number 13, Charlotte Hornets. It seems like they're always down this far. And you know what? For a Michael Jordan led team, I mean, does he just love? I mean, like, living in mediocrity, because I didn't think he did, but he's done absolutely nothing. Obviously, the Miles Bridges bullshit that he beat up it's not bullshit, he beat her up, but the shit that he did to beat up his girl, I mean, obviously, his NBA career could be over. No one wants to touch him. You know, they're going to bring out a starting lineup. Well, LaMelo Ball is injured right now. So Terry Rozier looks like he's going to start at the point instead of the two, which he has been starting at since LaMelo arrived. Gordon Hayward, PJ Washington, and Mason Plumlee are going to round out your five. I don't know who's going to start next to Rozier until LaMelo's back. Oh, these Ball boys, man, they're so good, and they just keep getting injured. I think LaMelo will be fine. He just tweaked his ankle a little bit. I think he's gone for a couple weeks. I mean, they could move Gordon Hayward down to the two. James Booknight might get some minutes. But, yeah, he just got arrested, so probably not. So, I mean, they got other options. I mean, this might be an opportunity for two-way player Bryce McGowan to get some minutes, who I really liked last year coming out of Nebraska. So, if LaMelo's not there, this team's gone. So I fully predict Terry Rozier and Gordon Hayward, possibly also Kelly Oubre Jr., who he'll be coming off the bench. He's a really nice player. I think two of the three, if not all three, will be gone by the trade deadline. They're going to realize that they suck. They're going to realize that LaMelo is a building block and they need to get shooters around him. And they're going to have a fire sale, and they're going to try to tank for Victor Wembanyama. So I got Charlotte at 13. That means Orlando comes in at number 14. So Jalen Suggs sounds like he's going to be back for opening day, which is great. So the Magic have been tinkering with this big lineup. They used it with Mo Bamba at the middle, Wendell Carter at the four, Paolo Banchero at the three, Franz Wagner at the two, and then in the lineup that they used Cole Anthony as the point guard. So I love Cole Anthony. I'm a big Cole Anthony fan. I think he is a dynamic player. I think he is getting much better at his overall point guard skills, and I think he's going to have a great season. However, Jalen Suggs is also there. So I would not be surprised. They've also used Terrence Ross in the backcourt during the preseason. They could go with the Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs backcourt because Suggs can play off the ball as well as Anthony can. And then go with Wendell. But I do feel like they're going to use this big lineup a few times. Don't know if they're going to start the game with it. But, you know, I mean, if things go really south for Charlotte, I can see Orlando being better than them. So I think this is a building block year for Orlando. I think you're going to see them get better than they were last year and whatnot. So that leaves lowly old Indiana as my 15th ranked team in the East. Well, I believe Miles Turner and Buddy Hield will most likely be dealt. Miles Turner's in the last year of his contract. I don't think they want him back, so they might as well try to get something for him. The Lakers are still going to be interested. So now once some of these players that the Lakers have, who they signed for one-year contracts, once some of these players become eligible, now they can put these guys in the deals. So I would not be surprised if Miles Turner and Buddy Hield are in L.A. for the Lakers, possibly. But that's interesting. So right now, their starting lineup looks like Tyrese Haliburton at the point guard. And I really like his game. They're going to build their team around him, and they're going to get shooters around him, although Buddy Hield is a good shooter. I think for right now, Chris Duarte is going to be the starting two. And for right now, I think Buddy Hield is going to start as the three. So they're basically going with a three-guard attack. Jalen Smith as the four, and they really like him. And I actually like him, too. I don't think he got a fair shake, fair shot, at least, in Phoenix. And then Miles Turner will be in the middle. And this is until they figure out what they want to do with these guys. Their rookie, Ben Mathurin, who has been just ridiculous in the preseason, looks the part, man. He looks like he can play the two to three. He looks like defensively he can score. Really, really just love his game. So I would not be surprised if maybe Buddy Hield comes off the bench and Mathurin is the starting three. Or if they're just trying to showcase Buddy, knowing that they're losing, and then Mathurin will become the starting three once they make a deal. So we'll have to see, but they're definitely going to be, in my opinion, they're going to be tanking for Victor Wembanyama. So with that said, so that's the East. That's how I got the East ranked. So we're going to come back, we're going to take a little break, and then I'm going to rank the Western Conference, and we'll go from there right next. All right, welcome back to the Maximum Hoops Podcast as we go through our NBA preview, which is me ranking the teams in each conference. And last segment we did the Eastern Conference. We are going to now continue with the Western Conference. And unfortunately, I'm going to stick with the defending champions, Golden State Warriors. I got them on top. And I got them finishing first overall. I got them going to the finals. Like, yada, 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 yada. So they have done their part. So obviously, other than the Jordan Poole, Draymond Green incident where Draymond Green decided to knock Jordan Poole out. I mean, he is like 80 pounds heavier than him. But regardless, so everyone's worried about the Warriors' bankroll except the Warriors. So the Warriors have obviously Steph Curry as your starting two, long-term deal. Klay Thompson, who I'm not sure how, I mean, he's still locked in. They just signed Andrew Wiggins to a four-year extension. So they're not letting him touch free agency, which good for Andrew Wiggins. I've always been a good fan of him. This just shows you that sometimes situational is good. I mean, Andrew Wiggins, it was proven that he was not a number one option guy. And he goes to Golden State where he can be a third option, and he is just dynamic. He is a good defender. And that's another thing. It's very hard to be the best defender on your team, guard the best wing, then come down on the offensive side. Michael Jordan didn't do it with Scottie Pippen. Did it. LeBron James picked and chose when he wanted to be the great defender he was, because they needed him on offense. It's very hard to be the best at both. So Wiggins now can concentrate on not being the man on offense and playing defense, and then giving them some offensive play. I really, really, really like what Golden State has done, because I thought they were toast a couple years ago. Toast. The year that the Lakers won the title in the bubble, I thought that this is it for the Warriors. And I know they had injuries, but I just thought this was it. So obviously their backcourt has Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, both locked up long-term. Obviously they have Andrew Wiggins just signed. Kevon Looney will be the starting center. Draymond Green will be the starting four. Draymond Green is in the last... Wait, I'm sorry. Okay. No, he has a player option for next year. But my guess is when he sees all the money that Golden State is flowing around, he's going to opt out of that option. Problem is, he wants to play with LeBron. And, I mean, he hasn't publicly said it. All the reports are that he wants to be in L.A. and play with LeBron. And I don't know if you've seen any of the offseason stuff going around, but him and LeBron hang out a lot. So Draymond and LeBron could be teaming up. So, and I think Golden State knows it. And I think Golden State decided to choose Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole, who also signed a monster extension. Now, Jordan Poole's coming off the bench. Jordan Poole's coming off the bench making ridiculous money. So, I mean, Klay Thompson's? There's a lot of questions going for Warriors. Is Klay Thompson going to be, because he has dealt with injuries and he's still a good shooter, but he's not what he used to be. So do they decide that they're going to put Jordan Poole, and then decide that, you know, Klay Thompson's time? Klay Thompson, rumors he wouldn't mind playing for the Lakers. His dad is the color commentator for the Lakers. So there's a lot of things going around the Warriors. If they can get rid of the distractions, I still have them with number one. So I got number one. So I got Dallas Mavericks coming in at number two. And this is basically just because I believe in Luka. I believe in Luka Doncic. I just love this game is so unique. It really is. He's a point guard in a small forward's body, but not like LeBron. He's not the athletic freak LeBron is. He looks like he just rolled off the couch after drinking 5 beers. You know, I mean, that's just, like, his game is so silky smooth. And maybe it's the number 77 on his jersey that makes him look like he just rolled off the couch after several beers. But he's just so good. I don't know how many times he takes a shot and I'll be like, what in the hell is this guy doing? And it goes in. So it sounds like Spencer Dinwiddie's going to go right into the starting two-guard spot. Replacing Jalen Brunson, who went to the Knicks in the lineup. That means Tim Hardaway Jr. is coming off the bench. Dorian Finney-Smith is probably going to be the three. It sounds like JaVale McGee starting at center, and Christian Wood's going to be coming off the bench. I just think that they're just really well-rounded. This isn't the first time I thought Dallas would be the number two ranked team, and they really let me down. But regardless, I have the Dallas Mavericks at number two. So number three, I have the Los Angeles Clippers. So this is everyone's darling to be the champions. Everyone's darling to be the West Best. They return Kawhi Leonard, who didn't play at all last year because he tore his ACL in the playoffs the year before. Paul George, who's been injured. Sounds like they had a battle for the point guard spot. Sounds like Reggie Jackson's going to be the starter, but John Wall's going to get a lot of minutes. Do not be surprised if you see them playing together. With the fact that Reggie Jackson can play off the ball, which he did a lot in Oklahoma City. Paul George will be the monster 6'10" two guard. Kawhi Leonard at the three. Sounds like Marcus Morris probably at the four, and Amika Zubac at the center spot. So I think it's a make or break year for the Clippers. I think the Clippers need to do something this year. They don't need to necessarily win the finals, but they need to do something. And a lot of people think that if Kawhi didn't hurt himself in the bubble, that was it the bubble? No, it was the year the Bucks won. Well, anyways, regardless, they think Clippers might have won it then. But you know what? I like Paul George. Not the biggest Kawhi Leonard fan. I think he's pretty much overrated. I'm not disputing that he's a good player. I just don't think he's on the level of some of these other guys that have carried the team to championships. He won a championship helping out another, a team, you know, and San Antonio was just basically a part of it. So, but I fell into a little bit of the hype. I got them ranked number 3. You know, they're deep. They got Nicholas Batum back. You know, they're very experienced. They can hit you with different players. They can hit you with some youth. It's going to all depend on if, and let's see how much Kawhi shuts it down. So we'll have to see how that goes. So I got number 4. I got Memphis, the Memphis Grizzlies. So the Memphis Grizzlies, I have them at number 4. They are, you know, they're Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr. back. Steven Adams just signed an extension. They're going for it, man. I got them at number 4, but I would not be surprised if this team, I would not be surprised if the team goes anywhere from 1-6. That's just how dynamic I think Ja Morant is. Ja Morant's a stud, just a flat out stud of a basketball player. They're a good outside shooter team. They rebound well. Steven Adams is a good defender, you know, in the paint. So, I have a lot of faith that Memphis can get. They're going to be disrupting very good. They're definitely a league pass team. So, number 5, I got the Denver Nuggets. So Jamal Murray's back. Michael Porter Jr. looks awesome. Nikola Jokic is Nikola Jokic. Why don't I have it in the top 2? Because I'm reading into the hype of these others. I really don't. So I have, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope now will come in. He came in a trade with Washington. He'll be the starting 2 guard next to Jamal Murray. Bones Highland sounds like he's going to get a lot of run off the bench, probably a combo guard-like type. Maybe a Jason Terry type off the bench for Denver. This is another team. This Western Conference is ridiculous. This Western Conference is ridiculous. So, from 1 to 10, oh my God, I think this Western Conference is so tough right now. It's very, very tough. But I guess that's why I got Denver at 5. And I'm not the biggest Aaron Gordon fan, but to be the 4th or 5th option, I don't mind that. I don't mind that at all. So, let's go to number 6. We got the Phoenix Suns, and I have Phoenix a lot lower than a lot of people. Part of the reason is Chris Paul is aging. Yes, he's been still terrific, but injuries have crept up a little bit. I have Devin Booker. He's a stud. I really like him. He'll be the 2. They basically have sat Jay Crowder, and he's not with the team, and they're trying to trade him. Interesting. That's a team that Miami's a team that should really grab Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder is just sitting home, so they're going to start a Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson front court with DeAndre Ayton in the middle. And let's talk about a wild saga. The whole DeAndre Ayton to Indiana thing. I mean, he was signed, sealed, and delivered to Indiana. And within seconds, Phoenix looked like they had no interest in him. No interest in him. And within seconds, they matched the offer sheet. Wow, that's crazy. So that's how I have the top 6 teams. I have Golden State, Dallas, Clippers, Memphis, Denver, Phoenix. So let's head to the play-in teams. So I got... This is wild. Damn it. I have Minnesota number 7. I had a hard time with 7, 8, 9. I really did. I have Minnesota number 7. The new look, Rudy Gobert, Carl Anthony Towns, front court. They're going to be... they're going to be tested on some nights. Carl Anthony Towns needs to prove that he can play against perimeter players, and that's what he's going to get a lot of the times. But I haven't seen it yet. He didn't look particularly well doing it against in the preseason. So D'Angelo Russell didn't get an extension. So what do you think? I mean, do you think he's going to be like traded? It's possible. They're going to have to re-sign Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is the stud of that team. Let's make no bones about that. Is Anthony Edwards. So Anthony Edwards is the stud of that team, and whatnot. So I got them at number 7. That means I have the New Orleans Pelicans at number 8. And I'm just not the greatest, biggest Zion fan. I still think Brandon Ingram is the best player on that team, but I know what Zion does. He's a dunker. Stan Van Gundy tried making him into a point guard, which is why Stan Van Gundy is no longer there. I'm a believer that New Orleans could also make a run, and it's going to depend on Zion. The best move they made was acquiring CJ McCollum, moving him to the point guard spot, putting that Devontae Graham to the bench, because Devontae Graham had one breakout season, had a big contract from New Orleans. Yeah, he hasn't been shit since, so they got him over onto the a bench. That's good. He can come off the bench and do that. Herb Jones sounds like starting two guard. Obviously, they got some youth. On the bench. So it'd be weird to see how they integrated Zion, Brandon Ingram, and Jonas Valanciunas up front. It's a really formidable lineup. That's why I had problems figuring out 7, 8, 9. Actually, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Because I think Sacramento's going to be better. So obviously that means the Lakers are at number 9. So they just found out that Schroeder is out 3 to 4 weeks. Not sure what they're going to do. Are they really going to have Russell Westbrook coming off the bench? Not sure. So the two starters that we know, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Now, they did implement Anthony Davis as a center in the preseason. I did like it with LeBron playing the 4. That meant they got some shooters. They put Lonnie Walker at the 3. And then they actually ran a Pat Bev, Kendrick Nunn, I believe it was, backcourt. But with Dennis Schroeder's injury, I think they'll probably look to maybe Austin Reeves, possibly, to get some shooting out there. He plays good defense, too. But I have no doubt in my mind Pat Bev is starting. Where they go from there, I don't know. I think Lonnie Walker has a leg up. He's looked really good in the preseason. I think he's got a leg up to start. It's just whether they want to play Anthony Davis at center or go with another center and yada, yada, yada. So, with that said, the Lakers are going to be looking at trades all season. I do think they should have made the Indiana trade if it was indeed there. They might be playing hardball. I mean, but you don't want to let the season get away from you. You know, Russell Westbrook, does he come off the bench? I mean, if he comes off the bench, he can just freelance. He can do it. He can do Westbrook things. Russell Westbrook is good on a rebuilding team because he can just go out there and just create havoc. You know, he can be the star. But when you are on a team like the Lakers, where Anthony Davis and LeBron are still the stars, putting him on the second unit might not be a bad thing. So I got the Lakers at 9. So that means Sacramento I have at 10. And Sacramento is going to have De'Aaron Fox is their starting point guard. Sounds like Kevin Porter, who they acquired from the Atlanta Hawks, will be their new 2 guard, which I like Malik Monk a lot, and I kind of thought Malik Monk might get that starting spot. But Malik Monk coming off the bench is actually not a bad idea. That guy can flat out score, and he's looked really good in the preseason. Keeping him on the bench with some of them guys might not be a bad thing. It sounds like Harrison Barnes and Domantas Sabonis are going to be the starting 3 and starting 4. It sounds like, or starting 5, I'm sorry. sounds like the starting four is still up for grabs. Keegan Murray, who I think should be the starter, the rookie top five pick. However, he's had a little bit of an injury. They've been using Trey Lyles a little bit. I think it's just a matter of when, not if, Keegan Murray becomes a starter. They're on the upswing. If the Lakers don't make a trade, if the Lakers stay as put and Russell Westbrook is doing non-Russell Westbrook things, which he kind of did last year, it's a team that could make a run and get to the playoff things. They could hop the Lakers. They could hop, you know. I think they're a playing team for sure. Whether they could make it into the final eight to actually get into the playoffs, we'll have to see. Yes, I had the Portland Trail Blazers at 11. Why? Well, first of all, I'm not sure what their backcourt is. I mean, I know what it is, but I'm not sure what it is. Does that make sense? So their backcourt is, and this is the teams who I think are going to make the best. Their backcourt is Damian Lillard, 6'2". Anthony Simons, 6'3". And I think he's run good days. But I'm not sure they're going to be able to defend. I'm not sure they're going to be able to defend bigger guards. I'm not sure they're going to be able to defend any guards. They did acquire Jeremy Grant from the Pistons in a trade. So Jeremy Grant comes over. They still have Jusuf Nurkić in the center spot. Sounds like Josh Hart is going to be the starting small forward. Nasir Little just signed an extension, so he's coming off the bench. They really don't have much point guard depth since they're starting two of them. So I just think Portland is going to be in over their head this year and whatnot. I love Dan Lillard, and I'm going to be rooting for him. And I like Anthony Simons, but I think they're going to be in trouble. I got 12 Oklahoma City, although that could change because Oklahoma City sounds like they're ready to freaking go after Victor Wembanyama. That means they're tanking. And my count right now is 1-16 tanking. 5 of them are in the Western Conference. So the top of the Western Conference is so tough. The bottom of the Western Conference is putting all in for Victor Wembanyama. So in case, for those who don't know who that guy is a freak of nature. He will be the number one draft pick next year. He is 7'4", 7'5", 7'6". You know, the myths know, but he's from France, and he is just a beast. He can do Kevin Durant things at 7'4". So, yeah, he is going to get attention. So, I have Oklahoma City. You know, they did sign Lou Dort to an extension. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander sounds like he's going to be better back or ready for opening day. So you got a backcourt of Giddey, SGA, Lou Dort probably. I don't think Lou Dort deserves to be starting, but he's probably going to be starting it at the three. Jeremiah Robinson Earl will probably start at the center spot just because Chet Holmgren is done for the season. Their prized rookie. He will not play this season because of that foot injury. So who starts at the four? Is it Poku? Poku Zdowski? Is it Darius Bazley? Or is it Usman Jang, their first round pick? Their other first round pick. I don't know, but I think Jang is going to get a lot of run. So, whoever it is, they're pretty deep. So, out of all the teams tanking, I feel like they're the best roster. So, does that mean Oklahoma City is just going to unload everybody, SGA included, their best player? I'm not sure what that means. I just know that there's rumors they want to match Chet and Wembanyama up together, which would be a ridiculously scary front court. But anyways, they got also another rookie, Jalen Williams, coming off the bench. And another rookie, J.Y. Williams. And he's going to be he's going to be getting a lot of minutes backing up at the center spot. So I just feel like that they're too good to be the worst team in this conference, in my opinion. So that leaves Utah, number 13. The fact that Mike Conley is still in Utah blows my mind. The fact that Jordan Clarkson is still in Utah blows my mind. Danny Ainge is going in full rebuild. He is going out. He is in the Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes. He's all in. I would not be surprised if they try to work out a buyout with Mike Conley, or they deal him someplace. I don't know where, but someplace. Yeah, they're in full, absolute rebuild. But once again, I think they're too good to be the worst two teams. You know, they got Oche Agbaji, who they came over in Cleveland. They got Walker Kessler, a nice young center, who they got coming over from Utah in those Gobert and Donovan Mitchell trades. They got Colin Sexton, who's making about $18 million a year, but he is very suited to come off the bench. My guess is he starts the season coming off the bench, but eventually, once they make these deals and get some of these players out of here, he'll probably walk into a starting spot. Jordan Clarkson, how long? I think the Bucks need to go up and make a run for him. I think he'd be so dynamic coming off the bench for the Milwaukee Bucks. The fact that they didn't do it frustrates me as a Bucks fan. They got some. It's going to be very interesting. As I get through the season, I will do a trading block, and you're going to probably see a lot of Utah fans in there. And I'll probably do some teams that will look to trade. So let's get going. Houston, I have a 14. It sounds like, obviously, they're Kevin Porter Jr. just signed an extension. A really weird laid out structured extension, but an extension nonetheless. He's a starting point guard, at least for now. They're into Victor Wembanyama sweepstakes as well. However, I don't think they would be very upset if Scoot Henderson, who's the second-ranked prospect, were to fall to them, because I think he'd be perfect next to Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr. Get Kevin Porter off the ball. Make him, off the bench or starting three. Obviously, they got their sensational rookie Jabari Smith. Alperen Sengun sounds like he's going to be the starting center. Jabari Smith will be the four. They're going to probably run Eric Gordon as the starting three for now, but he's another guy who I would not be surprised if he ends up being traded. Lakers is the target. The Bucks, I would love the Bucks to get Eric Gordon too. That way that will make room for Tari Eason to become the starting small forward. They got some good players on the bench. Josh Christopher, Usman Garuba, Kenyon Martin Jr., Jason Tate. They got some pretty good players. So I got them at number 14. Let's go to San Antonio. I have San Antonio as the worst team. They just signed Keldon Johnson to an extension. He's slated to be their best player. I would not be surprised if they traded Jakob Poeltl. They have really no point guard. They're playing their backup point guard for the last 2 years. Trey Jones will be their point guard. Devin Vassell will probably start too. They'll probably start. They do have their first round pick, Jeremy Sochan, who I would love to see start at the four next to Keldon Johnson at three. They do have their other two first round picks, Blake Wesley. Coming off the bench. They still have Josh Primo. So they got some young players. They're just that young. And I know they tried to play Wesley a little bit as a point guard. They played Josh Primo a little bit as a point guard. I think it's a little wishful thinking. This is another team that would not be surprised that would not be upset if Scoot Henderson fell to them. They're really, hungry for a point guard. So I have them at number 15. I'm not going to go any more into them. So that was your Western Conference rankings. we're going to come back and finish this up with some awards and in a few minutes. All right, welcome back to Maximum Hoops Podcast. This will be the last segment. It will not be as long-winded as the first two. I didn't want to take any breaks. I was on a roll, so I just keep going, man. I appreciate everyone who listens. The numbers, you know, obviously in the offseason, you know, I got some good draft stuff. A lot of people listens to on the draft stuff. You know, in the offseason, you don't get as much as you do. But now the season picks up, I hope to get a lot more people checking me out, looking it up. I'm looking into getting a YouTube channel. I'll let everyone know when that happens. But anyways, so I got a few more things to say before we end this podcast. First thing is I'm going to give some awards out. So here's my MVP. My MVP is going to be Joel Embiid. I just think he's going to have a stud season. I think that there's going to be no more distractions. I think James Harden is bought in. The Phoenix way, or the Philadelphia way, and I think he's going to benefit Joel Embiid. I think he's going to be a stud. I think Luka Doncic is going to be the runner-up, and Giannis Antetokounmpo will be third. I think the whole Nikola Jokic thing, I'm not 100% sure. I think he should have won the last two MVPs. So, once again, I have Joel Embiid as my MVP. So, my defensive player of the year, I went with Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he is going to just step it up defensively. I think he's going to be a difference maker. You're going to see his defense. Well, obviously, we know what he does in offense. He plays bully ball. He just muscles it right up there. And you know, his game is getting much better. He's just turned his game around. But defensively, I think he's going to be a stud. I have him as my defensive player of the year. I think Rudy Gobert is probably going to be up there. I got him at second as my defensive player of the year. So my sixth man of the year, I went with Boston's Malcolm Brogdon. And the problem with this pick is I'm not 100% sure he's going to be the sixth man all year. I would not be surprised if he ends up in a starting role. And Marcus Smart is moving out of the lineup. Or if they decide to go small and move Horford or Robert Williams to the bench and put him in. So that's my only problem. But if he stays, I think he's got a really legit shot to be sixth man of the year. I really do. So with that said, I'm hopeful that I'll get some of these right. So, sixth man of the year is so hard to predict because you don't know the usage of some of these guys. Like if Houston were to put Eric Gordon on the bench, I think Eric Gordon would be a prime candidate to win sixth man of the year. So let's go to coach of the year. I'm going Jason Kidd. I think he is going to have Dallas in great shape. I really do. I think obviously it helps when you have Luka, but I think he's gonna work out the whole JaVale McGee Christian Wood thing at the middle. I think they're gonna be fun to watch. They're gonna be fast. I think Tim Hardaway coming off the bench is just stellar. He's gonna be just gunslinging. I love it. I mean, I just really like their defensive ability. I like their offensive ability. I think this is Dallas's year to be a real threat to Golden State and make their move, and I think it's going to be because of Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd is a coach's or a player's coach, so would not be surprised to that. So let's go over to my I have the Bucks over the Sixers in six for the Eastern Conference Finals, and I have the Golden State Warriors. I'm going to have them over the Clippers, even though I have the Clippers at three, just because I think the Clippers. I'm going to have the Warriors over the Clippers at seven. Then I'm going to have the Bucks winning the NBA Finals in seven games. Yes, it's probably a homer pick. I am a Milwaukee Bucks fan. I grew up just south of Milwaukee. So it's probably a homer pick. But I'm going to pick the Milwaukee Bucks over the Golden State Warriors in seven games. Giannis Antetokounmpo will be your finals MVP. So, with that said, this is going to conclude the preview to the NBA Maximum Hoops podcast style. And please look forward to some more stuff coming up. We're going to have some trade stuff coming up. Probably going to re-rank teams once the season starts. And we're going to go from there. And I hope everyone has a good opening day on Tuesday night. So we'll talk to you again soon.